Where did it start, Harry? What took you from a careful, carefree pedestrian boy's life to this crybaby bar stool at the end of the bar, down by the drafty window, at a misanthrope's nearness to what he secretly loves? People. The stool with the caulking gum wads underneath. Your fingers were just there. Below where your bone ass sits, at half attention and half wonder at the workings of Calvin Swig, the bartender, who pretends so well he's busy and carries a mind preoccupied, behaving like this in a pit, scraping away ever-falling sand and carrying the sand outside the house in a bucket and to be thrown into the sand, the woman of the dunes. And watch, Harry, how you now get up and walk to the no stage, your no ass, where all about and above is the crybaby bar. And sing your songs, too. No one's listening. One person will clap, and you always tilt into the mic and say, "Thanks, Mom." What gained you? The army issue, iron caught. Moreover, the army issue wool blanket and bannock pillow at your present address at the Tarantula Arms. Your room at the palace, with the shared bath at the end of the hall. You were a star, but weren't you? You were, Harry. Remember how Jimmy heard you play the Canadian anthem on your guitar with the wah-wah in the Toledo Night Cramp Hotel Bar? He took your white frilled poncho idea too, and your bingo marker earring. You said that in the Rolling Stone magazine article, and they wouldn't print it. They needed their gods. It was you who lit your guitar on fire first, Harry. You told them that. You drew the line at beating up guitars on stage. You never did that. You wrote into the Rolling Stone magazine on how you wished guitars would come to life, would animate. They wouldn't print it. They need their gods. And the marketing, it cannot be tampered with. All that Beatle Jimmy Eagle was marketing. People need to be told what is good. It's the same in the art world. It's the same in the film world. Was it because you were from Canada, Harry? And never spoke up? The way the stereotype is? Well, if so, that's a defect. Because look at where it got you. A wash basin at the Tarantula. A plate of onion rings at the Crybaby. Oh, that Toledo show. But the start, Harry. The true Harry start. You owe us that. Well then, that's the graveyard shift, I suppose. Long, long ago. And when I say graveyard shift, I mean work in a graveyard, daytime work. There is the day shift in the graveyard. Who else is going to cut the grass and clip around the gravestones? The night idea is hyperbole, a grave-robbing mythology where gold teeth and necklaces are dug up and pocketed. When Egyptian tombs are ransacked, desecrated, the graveyard shift is metaphoric language, which is misleading as much as it is clever. You need sunlight to mow past the gravestones. We did. To pick weeds, to straighten leaning gravestones and top up with topsoil the 6-inch depressions where caskets lay, a lazy 4, a good 5, an excellent 6 feet below, where the coffin disintegrates. And there is a cave-in. Those expensive caskets down there, they do turn to dust. Our bones turn to dust. All we are is dust in the wind. Close your eyes, only for a moment, and the moment's gone. Good test. Time may not move, but we age in its possible non-movement. The soil drops down there. The voids fill in. So it's topsoil and grass seed on the topsoil. Dig graves too, we dug graves. We dug graves and used quiet later shovels to fill them in, keeping the big stones out. Those stones we wheelbarrowed, we stockpiled them down in the old graveyard in the tall grass. This crew I speak of was me and Joey, Jojo, Jollymore, Triple J, an old thin man, ochre, as I am blue, red, and a touch of yellow. Jollymore did all the graveyard work till a bad back, and his employer, the Catholic father, Ron J. Mister, hired me. Minister Mister. He saw me walking to the beach one morning and pulled over. You caddying this summer, Harry? Because I've got a job for you. Mowing the graveyard, Harold. Jojo needs help. He's aging. Why aren't you coming to Mass? The graveyard job was my first full-time position. Caddying at the golf course was intermittent. I was younger. I see myself now, though, walking those growing bony legs over those green fields of death. Standing, then, with Jollymore, looking at a nest he shows me, with robin eggs in it. We set up for funerals, waited, of course, beyond the grievers. When it's not someone you know, you watch with pussycat politics. I see us there near the spruce trees, old man and young, our shovels and rakes at the ready, at the hidden ready, hidden from view. The bills of our caps are low. And yet I registered those sad faces. The father, Ron Mister, with arms out, gown sleeves drooping in semicircle. Did I have an inkling then that I would be on stage for 100,000 in Rio, at the Maracanã, dressed in a similar garb, with a sunburst Fender Telecaster hung from my neck? Who knows? Maybe way down I did. Cutting grass, mostly. But then there came a new operation, the expansion of the graveyard. Graveyards grow out of space as people die and are buried with others. New headstone real estate must be got. In a Catholic graveyard, at least, there were no cremations then. It was box and plot. I don't know, 15 square feet of soil? To house the eternal. Eternal. I think I talked about that. As relates to cave-ins. Expanding the graveyard meant yanking out raspberry bushes and clipping alders. Unwelcome work for a musician's hands. But I was no musician. Not yet. Jollymore was. And then, an even newer project came with Father Ron's decision to have us clean up the old section as well. The old graveyard. It's been long, long neglected, he said. and those are souls too. Right. Let's not pretend we are something we're not. Father, Mr. Minister, the older dead are less important to us. Think, we're not going to live fairy tales here. Joey and I nodded, and so it was extra work uncovering headstones, straightening them, tackling bushes, and cutting trees. Death, the older death, I thought during the new operation. How very benign. Nothing ever to worry about. Think time when you die. Always think time. Lose the self-importance. Can you accept that? At the end of the crybaby bar, down by the drafty window. The digging of the rock, the gravel, the hard pan pick chipped base coming into your lungs all. There was peace down here. I felt strong and alive down here in the hole. See me? With Joey, Jojo, Jollymore, bent above, backlit, telling me stories in his dark shadow, a blue sky above, cerulean. But the stories fell off. Jollymore moved up there, and a couple of rocks fell in the hole. What, I said, the priest? Is he coming? Don't worry, we're working. Jollymore brought himself to the fore, more over the hole. I need to coach you on how to dig my grave. I got quiet, drove my pick between two rocks. The hard pan was below. It was a joke of sorts, wasn't it? I didn't know how to respond. I need to coach you on how to dig my grave. Except you won't ever find me to put me in it. This is what he said. This was peculiar. I did follow it up with a smile, looking up at him toward the opening. And then I bent back to work, kept my head low, a little laugh maybe. Jollymore's statement was whimsical, I mean, wasn't it? Why wouldn't they find him in order to bury him? And who is or will be looking for him? And is he on the run from something? Triple J, Joey Jojo Jollymore. He had cow eyes, a liquid brown, and they were clamped in by crow's feet at the temples. Gray hair that canned out on the head sides like a pair of studio headphones. He wore a collarless shirt, a Texas necktie, and a crucifix. He wasn't religious. He swore like a night owl. He didn't seem religious. Weird feathers on this bird. There was obviously another life there. And no, not everyone has another life. Well, maybe, but not large ones. Younger people don't. Well, maybe they do, but older people have prairie-length ones. Time passed. I play guitar, he said. I dug. Was there more he wanted to say? I tried a few more picks. At last, I said, is that right? And he snapped like a dry dog bite. That is right. It felt as if my teeth had been slapped. That is right. A capitalized is, italicized, exclamation marks all over the place. That is right. Was he affronted? What the hell did I do? I acknowledged him. Does he want a genuflection? Am I supposed to be more surprised, congratulatory, Thankful? Guitar, what did I care about guitar? Girls, TV shows, log cabins, rolling papers, denim, corduroy, Zippo lighters and lighting fluid, hiding beer in your cowboy boots. Those were my marvels. But I mitigated. I attempted to. Guitar, eh? But nothing. I had lost him for the rest of the day. Come time to go, I hated guitar. The guitar. Guitar. The man had bared too much of his soul, saying he played. I didn't want all that information. The guitar was obviously the true world he inhabited. I play guitar. A statement of profession. It came with the smell of cigarettes floating in a slug trap lawn beer. His calling had a stickiness. One that was over my hands, my arms, the hairs on my arms. The guitar had come between us. Not that we were bosoms, but it is best to stay on the good side of someone, but keep it private to do that. Spirits stay light longer. Oh, the vanity you live in, young, just beyond the start line of your life. There's nothing to say about it, except that it closes all doors. Harry, says the swig, cleaning a glass. You gonna get back up on stage because I can keep the stereo on? Do you hear that? That to a man who once commanded the respect, the adulation of the legions of Kubla Khan on downward? I gotta go, if only to get rid of this music overhead. What'll the first song be? Shall I start with the cannonball? Shall I start with the cannonball?